Quick rundown. Fast hits to start. A quirky Wicker Man fable starring Olivia Colman debuted at Sundance, and it's as brazen as it is bizarre.
Also at Sundance, Josephine, a bold psychological drama about an 8-year-old coping with trauma that uses long takes to get inside her head.
Nintendo dropped a Super Mario Galaxy movie trailer. Yoshi talks, Birdo shows up, and a 70-piece orchestra is re-recording Galaxy themes.
Behind-the-scenes pop culture tidbit. Steven Van Zandt was almost cast as Tony Soprano before HBO insisted on a veteran actor.
Star Wars fans get dates. Maul Shadow Lord arrives April 6th on Disney+, with Sam Witwer back as Maul.
Pedro Pascal thought he was reading for Boba Fett before realizing he'd been cast as the Mandalorian. Surprise origin story for Din Djarin.
Heated rivalry stars Hudson Williams and Connor Story carried the Milano Cortina 22-6 torch as part of a press push for their series.
SNL's January 24th cold open skewered Trump with a parody Oscars, and Charlie XCX's mockumentary The Moment features a standout Kylie Jenner cameo in Ibiza.
All right, that's the tease. Now we'll go deeper on each story. Spoiler alert, these next segments contain full spoilers for the films, scenes, and casting details we just mentioned.
Let's start at Sundance with Wicker. Spoiler alert, this segment contains plot and ending details from the film.
Wicker is an offbeat, sometimes gross, frequently hilarious folk fable from Eleanor Wilson and Alex Houston Fisher. Olivia Colman plays a prickly fisherwoman who commissions a wicker-burnished husband, Alexander Skarsgård, crafted by a basket maker played by Peter Dinklage.
Skarsgård's Wicker Man is deadpan and oddly tactile on screen. The film stages his awakening as if a raucous Canterbury Tales has landed in a seaside village, and that setup sparks a chain of body, often Monty Python-esque vignettes across the townspeople.
Visually, it's slick. Lowell Crawley's cinematography gives it an almost Academy-style polish, despite the body humor. The period is deliberately vague, somewhere between the 1600s and 1800s, which keeps it feeling like a fable rather than a strict historical drama.
Colman gets the best material. She grounds the film emotionally, especially when a late tragedy gives the whole fantasy more weight. The central lovemaking sequence is audacious in tone and sound design. It's off-screen in explicit detail, but the editing and sound sell the comedy and risk of the moment.
Where Wicker stumbles is in scope. The directors ambitiously open the frame to lots of supporting villagers. A tailor, a miserable wife, a prudish sister, a flawed doctor. And some of those threads feel underdeveloped, like delicious side dishes that never become full courses.
Still, the film elevates material that might have been pure schlock with strong performances and production values. If you like surreal, raunchy fables that balance gross-out humor with genuine heart, Wicker will land for you. If tonal unevenness offends, it'll be divisive.
Next up, Josephine. Spoiler alert, this segment contains explicit plot elements and depictions of trauma from the film.
Josephine centers on 8-year-old Joe, played by Mason Reeves, who witnesses a brutal assault in Golden Gate Park. Director Beth De Araujo refuses to sensationalize the violence. Instead, she orbits Joe with long, drifting takes so viewers inhabit the child's shaken perception.
The film's striking choice is to make the rapist's presence permeate Joe's life. She sees him in drawings, in everyday scenes, even at the family table. That haunting repetition conveys how trauma has a way of infiltrating ordinary space.
The parents, played by Channing Tatum and Gemma Chan, offer contrasting responses. Tatum's father is physically assertive and emotionally distant, shaped by his own past abuse. Chan's mother is emotionally attuned and cautious about legal exposure. The tension between protection and pursuit of justice propels the family drama.
The courtroom climax uses handheld camera work to place us squarely in Joe's agitation as she's questioned. Reeves's performance is quietly powerful. The film avoids showing brutality and instead dramatizes the mind's aftermath. Critics see Josephine as a humane, stylistically confident treatment of a difficult subject.
Now for something lighter, Nintendo Direct and the Super Mario Galaxy movie trailer. Spoiler alert, this segment contains movie trailer spoilers.
Nintendo and Illumination released a Galaxy trailer hosted by Shigeru Miyamoto. The big reveal, Yoshi appears, talks, and joins Mario and Luigi after they unblock a rogue warp pipe in a Sand Kingdom sequence.
The trailer is a fast montage, Bowser-like lava sequences, a Cheep-Cheep swallowing a toad, Birdo and Mouser nods to Super Mario Bros. 2, Lakitu tossing projectiles, and even a T-Rex reminiscent of Super Mario Odyssey. There are Baby Mario and Baby Luigi shots, and Yoshi wielding a super scope-like weapon.
Production-wise, Chris Meledandri confirmed animation is finished and the film's in post. Importantly, the galaxy themes are being re-recorded by a 70-piece orchestra. The cast largely returns: Chris Pratt, Anya Taylor-Joy, Charlie Day, Jack Black, and the film moves to an April 1st release, adjusted slightly for international alignment.
No new Yoshi voice was announced, and some characters like Rosalina and Bowser Jr. were absent from this trailer, despite earlier mentions. So there's still more to learn before April.
Shifting gears, Sopranos casting lore. Spoiler alert, this segment reveals behind-the-scenes casting decisions.
Steven Van Zandt, the E Street Band stalwart, who became Silvio Dante, has said David Chase initially cast him as Tony Soprano. HBO reportedly balked, saying they couldn't risk an untested actor for the lead on such an expensive, ambitious show.
Van Zandt agreed with the final decision and called it fortunate that James Gandolfini got the part. Instead, Van Zandt collaborated with Chase on Silvio, a character tailored to his strengths, and he ended up appearing in 84 of 86 episodes, becoming an iconic second-in-command.
He went on to act in Lilyhammer, and even had cameos in films after. It's a reminder how casting choices can reshape a series and create legendary careers in unexpected ways.
Star Wars updates? Spoiler alert. This contains release dates and casting details.
Disney Plus announced Star Wars Maul Shadow Lord premieres April 6, and Sam Witwer returns to voice Maul. The series continues Maul's arc after the Clone Wars, with Maul leading underworld factions. The cast includes Gideon Adlon, Wagner Moura, and Richard Ayoade, and a trailer is out now.
There's also a smaller anecdote about Pedro Pascal. Early on, he mistook concept art and thought he was reading for Boba Fett, only to learn he was cast as the Mandalorian. That surprise choice helped define Din Djarin's fatherly, gruff persona and launched Pascal into the role that became a cornerstone of modern Star Wars TV.
Back to the festival circuit for a moment. Hudson Williams and Connor Story served as torchbearers in the Milano Cortina 2026 relay. Spoiler alert, this segment contains details about their media promotion.
Williams and Story carried the Olympic torch on January 25th as part of a publicity arc tied to their series Heated Rivalry, a gay Canadian hockey romance on Crave and HBO Max. Their characters attended the 2014 Sochi Games in the show, so the torchbearer appearance ties neatly into a larger international rollout as HBO Max prepares to stream the series in Italy.
Williams is also doing Fashion Week appearances in Milan, so it's clearly part of a coordinated push to keep momentum for the series overseas.
A few shorter notes before we close. SNL's January 24th cold open staged a Trump-branded Oscars parody skewering the administration with a series of absurd awards and cameos, and Charlie XCX's mockumentary The Moment features a widely praised, self-parodic Kylie Jenner cameo in Ibiza that critics called one of the film's best scenes.
Also, a roundup piece ranked the 11 best Prime Video movies of the past decade, a reminder that streaming curations keep changing how we remember recent cinema.
That's our roundup for today. If you want deeper interviews, scene breakdowns, or a spoiler-free version of any story, tell us which one and we'll follow up in the full episode feed.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe to the Daily Podcast for full episodes, extras, and our weekly festival roundtable. We'll be back tomorrow with more headlines and a couple of surprise guests.